Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. It feels like a Monday. He's Big Joe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And excited for our next guest in studio with us, Chris Kirkpatrick, of course, of NSYNC, and the host of The Name Drop. Season two of his podcast just started on May 21st. Chris, thanks for coming in. How are you?
It does feel like a late Monday.
It does.
Right.
It
like just, that weekend whenever just a... messed it up. Thanks for having me. Sorry.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's good to see you. You're a Nashville native now. We claim you. You've been here 8 years, so you are officially claimed.
Well, 8 years. We still feel like the new guys here. You know, it's like everywhere we go, we're like, oh, what was, oh, that place or that part. And, you know, we love it. We love it here so much. And we were just kind of talking earlier about how when I used to come up here and write in the 90s, I was always like, man, I love that town, but it's just too country.
Yeah.
Like too country for me. And then now, you know, there's so much pop up here and the country's become so pop and it's, you know, it's fun to listen to.
It's Music City for sure.
It really is. And the people are, you know, second to none. I mean, we've run into some of the most genuinely just great people since we've been here.
So we kind of do this, and I grew up here, and Joe did too, born and raised, and there will be, you know, somebody will bring up, you know, an artist or an actor or whatever, like, oh, yeah, they live here. I'm like, what, they do?
Yeah. It's like, or you run into them at some random event, and you're like, wait, what are you doing here? They're like, oh, I've lived here for 6 months. Yeah, the pandemic really built this city a lot.
Well, it changed it. Yeah. In those 8 years, though, I'm sure you have seen a ton of changes because of just the growth, you know, with the convention center and then obviously now we're getting a new stadium and all of that. But I'm sure it's changed a lot in 8 years for you.
Well, and I'm sure the people that have been here 2 years have seen you know, a lot of change too. And that's what it is. It's kind of hard to compare, you know, when you're like, oh, well, 8 years ago, you know, somebody's like, I'm from here, bro. You know, don't come at me with how long you've been here. But yeah, it's just in the 8 years and you could kind of go back to the 90s when I was up here all the time, how much has changed. A lot of it for the better. There's some things we got to work on, but I'm not in politics, so I stay out of that.
That might be the best thing you've ever said right there.
Stay out of politics. Just get out. Get out.
Chris Kirkpatrick in studio with us today. All right, so what are you up to now? I mean, I follow you. I see you. I mean, you're still massively popular, but what's the thing that's got your passion
We
now?
Run into each other every now and again. You know, I think right now I'm on this Pop 2K tour, which is like, it kind of goes all the time every year. We get new bands on there. We've had Sugar Ray, Smash Mouth, BB Mac, O-Town, Ryan Cabrera, and all these people come out.
Hell
and
yeah.
it's just like a 90s to early 2000s throwback. I'm the host, and I come out, and I always talk about how if you remember the TRL days and things back then, this is like that show. So, and then I come out and do a couple songs, and that keeps me real busy. I'm gone most weekends. I mean, we probably do 50 some shows on that tour a year. And then there's, you know, all the other stuff. There's the podcast I have with, so my co-host on that is Brian McFadden. He was one of the MTV VJs on like TRL and all that stuff. So he's my like partner in crime that we do the podcast with. And it works out great because he's the analytical and I'm the color commentary.
Yeah.
It's just like, he knows the stuff, and I've been there, so.
Does he live here, too?
He's off and on here. He's
okay.
Denver and Nashville.
I want to ask you, I heard an interview with Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes. This was last year, and he says, I'm so grateful that people still remember my name.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, man. And it's funny because there's that point in your career where, at least we felt, I was like, man, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of hearing my name. I just need a break from all this. And then you get that long break, and you're like, okay, that break was long enough. And that's not what I was looking for. But then, you know, it's because to me, it's the sincerest form of flattery. You know, that's why we do what we do. That's why, for a lot of us, we always stop for autographs. You know, we always are there for the people that care. You know, when they're like, oh, you know, I've loved you so much. They look at us like we don't understand. We're like, we grew up fans too.
Yeah.
You know, we had people that I, you know, fangirl out, so I totally understand. But yeah, it's still really flattering.
So I'm going to fully admit this. So I was one of those guys that, you know, it wasn't cool to be.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I was too with the new kids.
Yeah,
I had the new kids. So I was like, new kids, can they do this?
So yeah. like people would be like, do you like NSYNC or Backstreet Boy? Yeah. I'm like, I don't like either one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And secretly, I liked both. But you know, it was like one of those things. Yeah, so do you run into that now? Because now it's like, I don't care anymore. It's like, it's good music. So
you got to remember, you know, that time was, you know, it was a pop, what they call bubblegum pop. That's why we came out with like Dirty Pop and all this. Because we were like, get away from the bubblegum thing. We're not a bubblegum band. But, you know, at the time, it was what it was. And it was a lot of... majority of teenage girls, you know, screaming girls. And like I said, I went through it with the New Kids. When I was in high school, the New Kids were big and all the girls were, and you're just like, I could do that, you know? So what, you know, it was hard for guys to, you know, come on board. But then as time goes by and you become that old guy and you know, guys will come to the show with their girls going, man, I'm not worried about him leaving with my girl.
Well, like for me now, it's like one of your songs comes on and it's just like, oh yeah, let's go.
Now I can jam it. Now I can jam it in front of my friends a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dirty Pop is actually one of my favorites because I like the beat. I like the whole thing with it. So it's like it's one of those, if it comes on the radio, the radio doesn't change.
Yeah. I think a lot of those came out too at just the wrong time because to me, like now I look at like the Fall Out Boys and when I talk, and those guys are my friends. And when
I talk just saw them, they're awesome.
When I talk to them, I'm like, you guys are sports anthem gods. Like all their songs are these big sports anthems that come on. And, you know, you see them during playoffs or something. You're like, oh, yeah, it's a Fall Out Boy song. They nailed that part of the market. And being a musician, it's funny. When you do what we do, you always want to do what the other side does. Like, you know, I just played in an event last weekend at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh with former Steelers. It was flag football with former Steelers. And it was fun till I saw James Harrison put on a flag belt. And then I was like, no, Debo. I think I feigned an injury real fast on that. But, you know, we always want to be athletes. And athletes always make hip-hop albums or rap albums or rock albums or Christmas albums. So, you know, the grass is always greener, I think.
I think what gets lost in that is that you guys are fans, too. I mean, you grew up in the Pittsburgh area in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So do a flag football game with these iconic guys that you grew up admiring and loving, that's got to be very surreal and very cool.
Well, and I was there with Pat Monahan. It's funny to do this now because I'm conscious of my own podcast thinking about when you drop a name, we ding a bell.
Right.
Because the point of it is to talk about celebrities because you don't usually get the good stories unless you go, no, just carte blanche, talk about celebrities. And here I am just like, oh, so this friend of mine. No, but I was up there with Pat Monahan, the lead singer of Train. And we were just sitting there. We're looking at each other like, let's have a secret handshake. We both jump up at the end and chest bump and fall down and tear our ACLs. So we don't have to get in the game because we were intimidated. You know, you're playing in the stadium and, you know, talking to the guys beforehand, they're all like, oh no, it's just going to be fun. I was like, I've been down this road before. I know what happens. That light, the whistle blows, those lights come on, you guys change. You know? Troy Polamalu, who throws it, looks at me and goes, oh, don't worry, I'm only going to go 50%. And I was like, your 50% is my 300%. So, but it was fun. And it's always cool to, you know, like I said, Pat and I are sitting there going, oh my God, we're playing football on Heinz Field. And, you know, and I'm sure... You know, a lot of them are, hey, I want to make music or, you know, do
something.
Rock. Maybe I don't want to be an NSYNC, but.
I had a picture taken with Big Ben. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm a tall guy, big guy. He's gigantic.
Yeah, he's like a lion. He was like.
Was he in that flag football? Did he show up for that?
Yeah, he was on Troy's stack team. Coach Tomlin was actually our coach, and he kept calling us the Generals. And I was like, Coach, we're right here. We know that that's the Globetrotters, and we're the Generals. We get it. But I'm in earshot, so you can keep it down a little bit.
Chris Kirkpatrick is with us. The podcast is called Name Drop. Now, I'm excited about this. You did a two-part episode with AJ McLean of Backstreet Boys. Yeah. So I think, you know, we talk sports, we talk rivalries all the time. Back in the day, was there a rivalry?
Oh, huge. Ooh, huge rivalry. Question. I mean, that's like, you know, when you talk about oil and water, it's all It's all that was the rivalry. It was Backstreet NSYNC rivalry, and you could throw in 98 Degrees and you know some of those bands too. But they always wanted to pit the five of us against the five of them, and with us, there was really. It was probably all under the breath type stuff, like, hey, great to see you, great to see you. I hope your next record isn't but, you know, we were all cool, and we all became really good friends, and especially when you realize, like, what we always talk about, that era was a college where we all went to the same college, but we were all in different fraternities.
Yeah.
So you know a lot of what they're going through, and you've experienced a lot of what they experience, and there's only four other guys that have done, you know, and got to experience the crazy stuff that I've done. And there's four other guys with each one of them. So, but there's also this, oh yeah, did you guys remember playing this place and running into each other? And just the roller coaster ride of it was unbelievable. But the rivalry part, I think, was mostly the fans. Because you can't come out and go, oh, I love the Backstreet Boys. And then NSYNC comes out, oh, I love NSYNC now too.
You had to pick.
Didn't happen. You had to pick.
Like, I remember when I was, you know, a kid, like, and you guys were at your height, you had to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
There was no both. It was like you either were over here or over there.
I met a girl in San Antonio who said in her lunchroom, they had a one big lunch thing down the middle, and you either are on the NSYNC side or the Backstreet side. And she said, and if they crossed over, we'd cut them.
Good Lord.
So I was like, all right, well, that's probably the first time I've ever heard that one, because you hear a lot of stuff. But I was like, that one, that's a first.
Your podcast, is there anything off limits?
No. No, we've had a couple where we don't talk about politics. We don't get into all that, because, you know, even if you are a twin and you're the same everything, you're going to disagree on things. So, you know, we stay away from politics, and we've had a couple episodes where it kind of got a little political, and then afterwards, because we don't do them live, you know, we kind of go to tape and we're like, we're going to kind of edit this out a little bit, because we don't want to be political. We just want name drops, and it's fun.
That's great.
It's because, you know, like I said, like, even telling stories, sometimes if I'm out with my friends and you're hanging out and you start telling a story about, you know, the football game, and you start just dropping football players, you're like, man, I'm just trying to tell you the story. I'm not trying to be like, look who I was with. But this gives people just carte blanche to just come in and go, you know, crazy famous stories. We've had a lot from Nashville, you know, different encounters, and we've got some really interesting stuff.
Good, good.
Chris Kirkpatrick is with us in studio. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You're all I ever wanted. You're all I ever needed. Yeah. So tell me what to do now. Cause I want you.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Of course. Had to play a little in.
Is that 48 cents in your pocket? What do we got?
Oh, yeah. What platform did you get it on?
it's on everything now.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you guys were making records back in the day and like CDs, and now it's literally, there's multiple ways to get your music now, which is just crazy.
Well, who gets CDs anymore, though?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
What's a CD?
My 6-year-old, I brought a CD out the other day, and he just had his finger in the middle of it going, how does this, what do you do with this? I was like, we used to throw it at kids, bro.
We played that song, but I mean, do you, now the Chris Kirkpatrick who's in his 50s, does that just hit different to you in a way?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it definitely, you know, that was actually our first single we recorded in Sweden with Max Martin and Dennis Pop. And it just, the first video we ever did, the first release, first time we ever heard a song on the radio, it was that song. So that song is definitely means a lot. All the songs mean a lot, but that one in particular, you know, that was like the first one. And the first thing I think of is the stupid flips we used to do, and then I was like, yeah, 50-year-old Chris is not doing that anymore.
Could you say the stadium at Nissan? Okay, I thought you guys were first.
It was George Strait.
Okay.
George Strait.
Well, good. That's the way it should be.
April 30th, 2000 was George Strait. May 14th, 2000 was NSYNC.
Yeah.
Do you remember who was on that tour?
Yeah,
with
but that would have been horrible for this town if it was like played here first. Oh, and sink that. Yeah.
Do you remember who was on the tour with you? It was the No Strings Attached tour.
If it was the No Strings tour, would that have been Britney?
Nope.
Pink.
Wow.
Just Pink?
Yeah, there's one more.
Pink and that wasn't the.
He had a big song.
Oh, then it was Thong Song, right?
Yeah, Cisco.
Yep.
So that was May 14th, 2000. So you mentioned that that was your first single. Like when you hear that though, does like every time is it just trigger something like memories or?
Yeah, a lot of memories. I think your sense of smell is your number one memory trigger, yeah. But that one's right up there. Like when I hear that, because you go back to how many. I'd say millions, but that would be exaggerating. I probably haven't even heard that song a million times. But, you know, how many times you've done that song and recording it, and then in the video when you're singing it over and over again, and then the promotion of it, and then on the record, and, you know, how many times you've done the song. So all these little things come back on little shows, like will spark up, like, oh, I got dropped on my head on that show. And you know. That catches up to you. So easy back then. If I broke something or hurt something, cut the cast off. Let's keep it going. Now I'm like a baby about it. Like, I think I stubbed my toe. I'm like up for like 2 weeks. Babe, didn't you hear the bell?
Right. What was it like, though? I mean, this young man growing up in Pennsylvania, next thing you know, you're in Sweden recording an album. I mean, is there a moment like, what the hell am I doing here?
I was one of the older guys in the band, like, because I started the band. I started the band when I was like maybe 19, 20. But it didn't become the band it was with the guys till I was like 23, 24. Justin was like 15, I think, at the time. And, you know, so I was one of the older ones, but I was also one of the only ones in the band really that grew up really poor, like trailer parks and all that stuff. So to me, my son is 6 years old and has traveled more in his 6 years than I did prior to the band because wow. I never did. It only been my like maybe third time on an airplane, and it was just interesting. And getting over there and seeing a whole nother culture, I'm really glad it happened like that, especially to experience that culture. But we also did a lot of crazy shows where we'd mess things up, and it was just to, you know, get it better in our head. So when we finally released in the States, we had it all together.
So your son now at six, he's of the age of he's starting to understand things like
so
is he asking, like, he hears those songs, is he asking a bunch of questions and you're telling him of like, yeah, this is where we went, and you know,
he's been there for a while, like he's been, you know, all asking questions, figuring things out. Like he's gone for a couple times on that tour that I've been doing, the Pop 2K, and he sees the reactions and he sees all that. And he really getting curious about it. But it's interesting, though, because now he just assumes that everybody is like that. Like, I don't think there's somebody he could meet now, which sucks. Because for me, I remember a lineman for the Cleveland Browns came to our high school and talked. And I was so starstruck that he'd walked right here. Like, yeah. I didn't understand how that works. And my son's like we said, I'm friends with Neil Orne and all them. And Neil shows up or he's on TV and he's just like, hey, Neil. When he was a little kid, he was like, hi, Uncle Neil. Hi, Neil.
That's cool.
Yeah. So you guys did the song for Justin's album and everything. How cool was it that you knew your son was going to be around for that process of you guys getting to do that song together?
The song was definitely a culmination because, you know, I really love the song that Justin wrote. But right
Paradise,
before that,
right?
Yeah, Paradise. Yeah. But right before that, we did a song for Trolls. And they actually drew us into the movie. And that's when, you know, Dad's kind of cool. But I will tell you a funny, real quick, funny story. I went and did career day at my son's school. He's in kindergarten. And I went in to do career day, and I thought it would be smart. I'm like, I'm going to bring in one of my Moon Men and let him see the Moon Men. Realizing then later that I'm talking to kindergartners, and they're like, what are you, an astronaut? And I was like, wait, no, this is for empty. And as soon as I was like, empty, I'm like, never mind. it's just an old award that's people probably don't even get anymore.
That's very cool, though. I want to ask you this. We're talking to Chris Kirkpatrick in studio on the Chase and Big Joe show. When you moved to Orlando, what kept you going? Because I'm sure you were told no a billion times and everything. What kept Chris Kirkpatrick going to live out his dream?
Well, you just said it. When you're told a million times no, you know, that's what kind of – those are the ones you always think of. You know, I guarantee if you have a million tweets saying how great you are and one tweet saying that you're a jerk and whatever, you're going to remember that one tweet.
Right.
So you always remember the negative. It's just how you go about taking that to your advantage, like using that to your advantage and saying, okay, I'm not going to be like this, or I have to be better than this. I have to work harder than this. You know, it's really, there was a lot of work that we put in almost to be an overnight success story. You know, yeah. Really, there's a lot you have to go through. And we kind of did that, you know, in Orlando, then over in Europe, and then to come here. And just, it still almost feels like two lives. You know, it feels like there was this whole thing that happened, and now there's me dealing with this thing that happened. But it's cool.
What's the moment where you're like, all right, I'm in this for life? No matter before what it goes on, I'm going to fail at this. This is what I'm going to fail at.
Oh, that was early. That was early. That was like, you know, growing up and got, you know, I was in a musical when I was in sixth grade. And I'm not a big musical guy. I don't really, you know, when people start breaking out in song right in the middle of a death scene,
right.
It doesn't make sense. But, you know, I was in this musical and was a big production in my town and came back to my school and all these kids wanted my autograph and stuff. I'm like, man, this is weird. Like, this is really weird to be walking, you know, to be living in a trailer park with no electricity sometimes and all this stuff. And to think that people are like, hey, I want your autograph. You're like, why don't you pay my bill? I'd rather do that. But that was, I think growing up, I knew that I loved music and I loved being around music. And whatever that came with is what I was going to do.
So we were talking about this during the break, that you moved to Nashville around the cup final between the Pens and the Predators.
That was tough.
I know you're a Pens fan, but have we converted you?
I've been a Preds fan for so long. Like I love the Preds. I do their charity golf stuff. And it's hockey too. It's hockey. It's the best sport. Back in the day when we were huge, all my friends were hockey guys. You know, just because I loved being around hockey. I love the way the players act, you know, off the court or the ice, whatever it is. They're all really good guys. Not to say that the other ones aren't, but something about hockey really has this cool, you know, thing to it. And so, yeah, and the Predators games, you know, I think my son's probably a Predators fan. I wouldn't push my ideals on him. Like, I want him, especially being born here, I want him, if he wants to be a Titans fan, if he wants the Preds be his number one, you know, you always love when the home teams win.
For sure. And Hal Gill, who's the color analyst for the Predators, won a cup with the Pens. So there you go. There's your connection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't need a connection. I'm here. I love sports. But as we were talking about with Ryan Johansson, it's like you get a guy, you're like, oh, this is my guy, and then they're traded.
Yeah,
and they go somewhere else, and you're like, so does this mean I have to like that team now, or can I just – you have five goals as long as the Preds have six.
Right.
You know?
Have you ever sung the national anthem?
Oh, yeah.
And how
was
that?
Not at a Preds. Man, Nashville, I always feel like there's so much pressure here to do – anything. If you go up and sing the national anthem, you don't just sing the national anthem. You better impress everybody with that national anthem.
Oh, yeah.
You go to karaoke, you don't just get up there and do karaoke. If you do, and it's horrible, they check your license, make sure you're from out of town. Because, I mean, this is serious town. So
I know if you mess up, it's going to be on SportsCenter.
For sure.
I mean, it's everywhere. So the pressure is like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times you do it too. They put it on the Jumbotron. They have the words there just in case. But the only reason you would forget is if your nerves just twitched your brain because we've sung it so many
times.
Right.
Can we tell the Vince Gill story?
I was about to say, please tell the Vince Gill story.
Vince Gill was singing at the World Series, like game four, game five, and his monitor went out in his ear. So he was mirroring the guy on the front row singing the same time. He said, in the middle of the national anthem, the guy stops and takes a big bite of a hot dog. So for like a second half, Vince is like, oh my God.
Freestyling.
And he said, you can hear the pause and the feedback.
Oh, man.
And it keeps on going that way. That's why when we heard Vince tell that story to us, like, yeah, I could never do that.
Yeah, I think the anthems always have, you know, crazy mishaps or things that can happen. And you get through it, you know, especially with that. I mean, that's the song that you that needs to be played once a day. You know, it's like when you used to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh,
and stuff
yeah,
like that.
That's right.
Like that's one of those things that no matter what I teach my kid, you know, no matter where you are, you show respect to that song.
Do you think, and this is a stupid question, Chase has the great questions, I have the dumb questions. Do you think you're snap famous? By that I mean, do you think if you go to Best Buy, somebody's like this?
I know that.
And they're looking at you.
It'd be
random if somebody ran into you at Best Buy in Laverne or somewhere.
Yeah, I've had you get that a lot. I get that a lot. Or a lot of times somebody will be like, "Hey, has anybody ever told you that you look like
that guy from NSYNC?"
Yeah, does anybody ever told you look like that guy from NSYNC? I'm like, yeah, all the time. It's so weird. Like, my mom tells me that. So, but yeah, those ones are okay. It's the ones that. Oh, and I probably shouldn't bring it up because if somebody's out there, they might do it as a joke now. But when you go out and somebody's like, "Hey, are you Chris from NSYNC?" And I never, no matter what you're doing, sometimes you just want to go, "No, that's crazy." But I'm always like, "Yeah, I am." And then they're like, "No, you're not." And I'm like, "Okay, like, no, and whatever." They're like, "No, you're really not. You're not." I'm like, "Okay, then I'm not." They're like, let me see your driver's license." You know, and you're listen, you're really taking this way too far right now. Either take me at my word, take the picture, show your friends, and they go, "You idiot, that wasn't him." Or.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny, but at the same time, I guess it's a little flattering.
I mean, although I did have a buddy think he ran into my sister the other day and took a picture, and he goes, "Yeah, I ran into your sister." And I was like, "Dude, that's not my sister." He goes, "I was wondering why I kept calling her by your sister's name all day. She was correcting me." And he goes, "I've been calling Chris's sister the wrong name all this time."
All right. Yeah. So what's next for you?
Next is back on the tour. We just finished recording the next season of Name Drop. So we'll probably start on the third season of that and release those. We've done I Can See Your Voice is coming out, right? That's the show that was kind of the opposite of Masked Singer.
Oh, cool.
Where they have people come out and lip sync to either really them singing or not. So I got to do that.
Nice.
And being with my kiddo, it's always sports season.
Always.
You know, going down and checking that out and doing the tour.
How can folks find Name Drop? On Spotify?
Name Drop, Apple? Yeah, wherever you get your podcasts, it's available. Spotify, I think, is going to put it on a good spot for us. So, yeah,
awesome.
Any of those places.
Chris, it's awesome to have you in studio. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you guys for having me.
And we're glad to have you as a Nashvillian.
I'm a Nashville fan.
We'll be back with more Chasing Big Joe 102.5. How appropriate.
Never heard that one.
102.5, 106.3, The Game.